And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to comprehend what the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, we're starting off in Acts 24:11. As we mentioned last week, Paul is beginning his defense. So we previously discussed this as a form of apologetics. Apologetics is to defend the faith. It's not to be apologizing. That's not what the word means. Paul simply states that if one investigates the situation that he was in, they'll find out that the accusations that they leveled against him are false. Now remember this. Don't forget this. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And his accusations are frequently shrouded in lies, much like humanity's accusations against Christians and one another. Next, Paul then discusses some of his history, none of which involves him causing any problems. Just so everybody can know, they were all mad at him because he was in the temple. He's merely providing financial aid to those who share his faith and fulfilling purification rituals. There was no rioting or any problems whatsoever. However, he makes the ultimate case that every Christian needs to be aware of. I don't know how to say this any clearer. There's a reason it's in the book for you and me. He was actually on trial because he believes in the resurrection from the dead. Do you believe in the resurrection from the dead? We'll keep that in mind. And afterwards, Paul's straightforward defense, Felix, who's pretty well-versed in the Christian faith, decided to delay any ruling and allow for a review of the case. In doing so, he granted Paul certain freedoms. Cool. He allowed his friends to come and visit him, take care of him, meet his needs. This was basically a reduction in the intensity of the persecution that Paul was experiencing at the time. And he used this reduction to strengthen the faith of others. Did you hear what I just said? He didn't go and just take a nap. He didn't go and run and hide. He used this drop of intensity to help others. When we catch a break, that's not the time to run and hide. That's the time to also encourage others.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Isn't prevailing nice? Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and way they... So much more. How much more? A lot. Just a lot more. But remember, it's not professional radio. I'm not a pro. It's not like that. I'm just a brother in the Lord. For some of you, a younger brother. For some of you, an older brother. For some of you, just an obnoxious brother. I've been that for many years. It's just radio, man. It's all it is. And so we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. Nice. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like the feeling you get when you're being appreciated.
Aww.
Aww.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. We certainly had a different kind of beginning, didn't we?
Yes, we did. So much that I couldn't remember if we even asked a trivia question or not.
I know you guys think we have this all nailed down. Yes, we do. We come in the building, we close the door, and we go, what now? That's how we have it nailed down.
Close the door, get ready, and go, here goes nothing.
Here goes nothing. See what happens. All right, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if you want to call us, you know you can do that at 972-445-0770. You can ask any question you want. You might get a very long, passionate response.
Let me just say that.
That's a very strong possibility. Now, why did I say that? Because that's what happened the last half hour. And who asked the best questions out of anybody in the entire show since we've ever done the David Spoon Experience? Sergio. He asked the best questions. It's just amazing. I love it because he asked questions that people want to ask and maybe don't know how or afraid to ask, which is why it's so good. And so you can ask that question. You can ask questions. You can, if you got something going on, you need prayer, let's pray. Let's pray about it. Let's ask the Lord. The Lord is kind. He's gracious. He's merciful. Stop thinking you got to put, you know, it's like, remember the Kung Fu show, David Carradine? It's like, grab the pebble out of my hand, right? It's like, that is not how it goes with God, where you got to be really fast and grab the pebble, and that way you can get, that's just not how it is. It's the Father's good pleasure to pour upon you his kingdom. Ask. I mean, that's the challenge that God gives. He says, ask. Knock, seek, do it. So maybe it's a prayer request. Maybe it's a praise report. The Lord has done something good for you, and you know it. You can't hold that back. In fact, one of the things, and this is really manipulative, so I'm telling you ahead of time so you don't have to absorb it as manipulative, but one of the things is all these great things that God has done in your life, you know you're the steward of those because only you can share them. You have an opportunity to share them on this show if something the Lord's done something great for you. We love it. We think it'd be great. You can do jokes if you even want to call it, or observations, or something that's geared towards encouraging one another, because we function out of Hebrews 10:25, encourage one another as you know, and strengthen one another as you see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. Well, it's closer. So let's do that, right? Okay, pretty solid. And we're also going to do some history. We'll see how the jokes go. Sometimes we get them in, sometimes we don't. But we also do trivia. What do you mean, Bible trivia? Trivia. So some of it's trivia directly in the Bible. Some of it's about the Bible. And since Sergio asked the questions and it was a bibliology question, we'll ask a question back to you. That's a bibliology trivia. How many total books are in the Bible? Is it 55, 66, or 77? How many total books are in the Bible? 55, 66, or 77. If you're not sure, go to your content and count them. That's a good way to do it. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email. You're welcome to send an email. It really does work. I know people think, oh, does the email work? Yeah. I mean, it's a lousy computer that I have, but the email still works. So send an email. You can do that too. That's david@hemustincrease.org. So just making it as simple as I can. I think I'm making it pretty simple. Your trivia question. How many books are in the Bible? Now, again, when we ask questions like this, don't give me additional answers because there could be other questions that are right behind it, right? How many books are in the Bible? Take the amount in the old and the amount in the new, put them together. What's that total? If you think you know, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. By the way, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Is that correct, sir? Yes, they are. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Gary. I got a little bit fiery. I mean, Sergio asked a really good question, and off I went. I couldn't stop. Sometimes you just got to put up with me, right, brother? How are you feeling today?
About the same, but I can always get better.
That's right. You know what? I love that your response now. I mean, I really do, because you know the power of prayer can change anything. If it can change the rotation of the earth and bring up the dead, it could do anything else, right? Let's go to the trivia question and let's pray for you. How many books, Old and New Testament combined, how many books are in the Bible?
66.
66 is correct, sir! You're right! That is exactly right. It is 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. Excellent job, my friend. Let's pray for you. I want to pray that the Lord blesses you in your health, plus other areas as well. So let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our brother Gary. And Lord, we will keep praying for him, and we will keep petitioning you, because you taught us that persistency in prayer is a quality you want from us. And we're going to obey that. We're going to follow that. We're going to follow you. And in this prayer, we're not saying you will do what we ask. We're asking you, surrendering it to you, of course, but asking you to break out that generosity and pour it out on our brother. You have so much in you, so many resources, so much grace and mercy and love and kindness and healing and comfort. Pour it into Gary's body. Every part of him, every part of him that's ailing, every part of him that wounds him, and in his circumstances, break their power. And let the power of grace, mercy, and divine generosity flow in Gary's life. And let him know it, and let him testify to it. And let us be able to rejoice with him in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you, and I'll continue to pray for all of you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. All right, Brother Gary, we love Gary. So that's something. So I want people praying for Alan, who's going into the missionary field. I want you praying for Gary. You got to keep praying, keep believing. You're thinking, well, you know, you pray for us. Yeah, I find it amazing that people get discouraged because God doesn't answer them instantly like he's a genie. It's just like, can we stop, okay? Somebody said this to me one time, and I really thought it was really good. So if it took somebody 25 years to get into an alcoholic state where they're an alcoholic, maybe it takes some time to get them out, and maybe that's the best way to do it. Okay, that's up to the Lord. He knows the best way. That's part of trusting him and submitting to him, right? All right. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA because we have to do DNA, because if you don't do DNA, I'll get mad at you. Well, I won't get mad at you, but you know what I'm saying, right? That's what we got to do. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. So we spent an entire 30 minutes without me taking a breath talking about the importance of being engaged in the Word of God. And when you do that, you will be amazed at the natural process it is to spend time in prayer with God. And while the society and woke people and all the other people don't like it, which I could care less about, the bottom line is Jesus told everybody to get into the closet, which is his way of saying separate yourself from all distractions, all things that pull your mind and heart away, and spend time with the Lord. That's what he wants. That's what drawing closer to the Lord daily is. And yes, you have to do it daily. Why? Because you live daily. Why would you not live closer to God daily? Okay, that's why. N, so that's the D of DNA. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. Just a simple argument, simple process of logic. Simple. They don't have a heaven to put you in. God does. There it is. That's it. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means to serve. You know what that means? To serve. That's right.
To serve.
To serve. I mean, it's just like, listen, what capacity? I don't know. You know what? I got to say this. You could be just nice on the road. We could use a few more of those people. And a way to serve somebody, just saying, you know what? I'm not in that much hurry. Go on in front of me. That could be. So you think, no? No, you're wrong. These are the things we need to do in all of our functionalities, in everything we're doing every day. We're supposed to reflect Jesus. Now, that, and I'm going to say this out, that doesn't mean you let every single person in front of you, right? But try not to be at the front of the line. Try to be at the end of the line. That's what Jesus taught. Don't be one of those that says, I got to be first. That's wrong. if Jesus just came to be first in his service, that would have come out really weird. But he came to be a servant amongst mankind. That's how he demonstrates his love. All right, so love people. Serve them. Honor the Father. Glorify the Son. Follow the Holy Spirit. Honor the Father. Glorify the Son. Follow the Holy Spirit. That's the DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. N. A. Always be ready to serve. We'll take a short break, then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Ha! Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We have been having a really interesting couple of weeks of shows. I mean, I have no idea what's going on, but it's cool, right? Here's your next trivia question, still along the lines of bibliology. A pretty simple one, though, for most people. I think you will understand why when I say it. Who wrote the book of Acts? Was it Paul, Luke, Matthew, or James? Who wrote the book of Acts? Is it Paul, Luke, Matthew, or James? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us and call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I know the Holy Spirit wrote it, so you don't have to tell me that. But who wrote the book of Acts? No, not the book of love, although there's the Song of Solomon in the Old Testament. Who wrote the book of Acts? Was it, in fact, Paul, Luke, Matthew, or James? Your number is to call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I am going to say this one thing. I was really hesitant to say it, but I think I kind of need to say it, and that is we are making this move, and that part's cool, okay? We're taking a couple of hits, you know, left and right. That part's not bizarre, but we definitely need the giving to be what's the word I'm looking for? Bountiful. We need the giving to be bountiful because we got lots going on, and it's all in regards so we can keep maintain the ministry and keep things going. So if you can help, that's great. If you can't, don't worry about it. We just need as much help as we can get, and we're just telling people. If you can't give, by the way, here's your task. Pray for us, right? I mean, just pray for us. Right? That's the key. We're thankful for everything we receive. We lift up before the Lord and give thanks, and we just want it to multiply. Okay? All right. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave. It's Jay. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jay. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just loving this beautiful day in the Lord's kingdom.
It is beautiful out. And when I drove in today, it was so nice, especially compared to yesterday, which was like, you know, not as nice, or the day before when it was super rainy. It was so nice.
Well, the night before, my dog was looking up the plans in Genesis of Noah's Ark. He was getting a little worried.
He's like going, well, how many cubits is this thing? Let's see.
Yeah. He's asking me, like, what's a cubit?
That's, you know, hilarious. That, yeah. That's classic. All right,
well,
go ahead.
You stole my thunder because I was going to – I dialed the phone before you gave the caveat. I was going to say it was another doctor that wrote that.
That's a good one, brother. That's a good one. So what doctor – actually, watch this, because you know I'm irritating about these things. He was actually a physician. It's not a doctor, a physician.
That's true. It does call him a physician.
I've never seen
one of your many, many, many translations that said doctor.
Yeah, no, it says physician. But
one of them does. Surely.
And who was it then who wrote the book of Acts? It was
Luke.
No! I had to give you a big setup there.
Yeah, I was going to tell you also a while ago while you were talking about this, I was thinking that as I go from translation to translation, I probably got 5 translations in my home and taught my kids how to speak the King James English. But different translations in different parts of the Bible give me better clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly. And how good is that, though? Isn't that like that's good? I need that.
It won't be just synonyms of words, but whole sentences or possibly verses written in a way that make you understand it, a way that you've read it for 10 years, you know, and give you the same but a different completion of that view.
That's exactly correct. And I'll tell you one thing that happened. I don't talk about this a lot, but when I read the Good News Bible, it was like my first Bible. And I liked it because it had stick pictures, because I like cartoons.
Yeah.
But when I read the King James, I moved up in my faith on the authority of the Word of God because of how it's written. And that helped me understand more of the authority. Then when I moved into the next, it's like each one has given me some kind of angle that helps me get a better grasp on where the Lord's coming from, what he's communicating. And it's like, how absolutely wonderful is that? How much of a gift is that?
I ordered a side-by-side of the New King James and the NIV, and you can read the same verse in both, and you're like, wait, am I in the same book? You know,
it's
just so different the way they spoke back then. But like I say, it just gives me better clarity when you're reading a trustworthy translation. And you kind of alluded to this. If, you know, the person that translated it or people that translated it, hearts were right. Most translations, if your heart's right, are good. You know, I mean, they're worthy. I don't think there's anybody out there trying to translate God's word in a way that would mislead anybody.
Yeah, except for like the Reader's Digest Bible, which is like, okay, no, okay, that's a no. That's a big no.
Yeah. Well, I wanna thank you and let you know that we all love you, and I tell more and more and more people about you every day. You're a ray of sunshine, and we appreciate you very much.
Well, you know,
we love you.
Very, very kind of you to say, and I do want to pray over you because I know there's some stuff you've been going through, and I know it's not always easy. But let me pray over you because I'm just going to ask the Lord to do something for you that will just blow your mind. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I lift up Jay to you. I thank you for him. I thank you for my brother. And I ask you, of course, Lord, that you would protect him emotionally, psychologically, physically, help him be healthy spiritually. Now, Lord, I'm just asking because you're this way. I pray you bless Jay with something he never anticipated and bring it into his life. And when it comes, Lord, let him know it's a gift from you. Let him just go, wow. Let him acknowledge. Let him rejoice. Let him give you praise. Let him be blessed by it because it comes from you. Because you're the greatest gift giver ever. Give that gift to my brother. Please bless him in a special way and encourage him. And bless him in his financial things and in life things. Open up doors for him. And let those doors just be moments of glory and moments of touch with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you, David. I will be anticipating great things.
Amen, brother. Great things are coming. GTAC, great things are coming.
There you go.
Amen, bro.
I'll be listening.
All
love
right.
you.
God bless you. Love you too, bro.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let me do this little. I'm never gonna get to this. My scripture opportunities are getting weird. All right. Anyway, let me get to this one part. We're in Acts chapter 24. I got to do some of this, so leave me alone. Acts chapter 24. We're at verse 11, and we picked it up from verse 10 last week. I'll read the verse 10, but I want to focus in on verse 11. So now it was, this is what it says. Now it was Paul's turn. The governor motioned for him to rise and speak. Paul said, I know, sir, you have been a judge of Jewish affairs for many years, and this gives me confidence so I can make my defense. Verse 11, you can quickly discover that it was no more than 12 days ago that I arrived in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. I didn't argue with anyone in the temple, nor did I incite a riot in the synagogue or on the streets of the city. These men certainly cannot prove the things they are accusing me of doing. But I admit that I follow the way which they call a sect. I worship the God of our ancestors. I firmly believe in Jewish law and everything written in the books of prophecy. And I have hope in God, just as these men do, that he will raise both the righteous and the ungodly. Wow. So I'll never give a defense that's that good, because that's a really good defense. I'm just saying. I mean, just come on. That's just like, wow, lights out, fantastic, right? But listen to what he says. There's these five things, and these five things are just really, just absolutely lights out bizarre. He says this. He says, I firmly believe in the Jewish law. Well, first he says, I worship the God of our ancestors. That's one. I firmly believe in the Jewish law. Everything written in the books of prophecy. I have hope in God that he will raise both the righteous and unrighteous. And because of this, he says, I maintain a clear conscience before God and everyone else. He's just saying, you know what? I believe. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in worshiping God. I believe in the law. I believe in the prophecies. I believe they've come to pass. I believe they're still coming to pass. I believe they will yet come and pass. And here's the one of the best lines. And I have hope in God. You know, it's amazing. David wrote, you know, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Some of you are going through it and you're just, the hope is just really thin. I get it. But scripture says that our hope is an anchor to our soul. Anchor keeps things so that you don't go floating down the river, capsize, or go so lost you can't figure it out. Keeps you more stable. Your hope will stabilize you in the midst of a storm. And Paul goes, that's what I believe. That's what we all believe. We just need to function in that belief, right? Take a short break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God, and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time, and in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I've went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God and they're like, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith. And the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless. Because you have to be engaged with God and know he's going to speak. People are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear them. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your next trivia question. I can tell you right now, the last question. So we got this question. They got one more question if we can get it in. The last question, I'm going to get a whole bunch of wrong answers, but it's okay. I'm just going to give you very specifics, do my best to kind of present it before you. But on this question, who wrote the Book of Lamentations? Was it David, Nehemiah, Solomon, or Jeremiah? Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? David, Nehemiah, Solomon, or Jeremiah? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? Was it David, Nehemiah, Solomon, or Jeremiah? I am going to send you up before we do anything else to the website because I didn't do that earlier and we need to do it. Thank you very much. We're a little tight on the do-re-mi, so see if you can help. That's great. Also on the website is the new book, The Faith That Pleases God. It's not important like the Bible. No other book is, period. But it should be a pretty good encourager for your faith. I think it does a pretty good job. It's recently released by yours truly, which I still don't know what that means. It is in audio, ebook, or print format. So all three are available. If you can give, great. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. You never give God the leftover. You don't want, that's just wrong. You never give God leftovers. That's wrong. You give God the best of what you got, just like he gives to you. All right, check all that stuff out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
There you go. That's just every time I think of that, I think of some kind of roast beef and cheese, and I hit the countertop, and then it just slices off and falls over. That's what I think of. It's so weird.
Yep, and then you go, well, we need a new kitchen table.
This is why I have Noel make the sandwiches, just so you can know what's going on. This is why I don't do stuff like that, okay? Because I can burn water. Okay, see, you guys get that? Because you can't burn water because it turns into steam. Okay. The trivia question, who wrote the Book of Lamentation? David, Nehemiah, Solomon, or Jeremiah? Somebody is on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is your old friend, Rodney.
Hello, Roger again. How are you?
Good. How you been doing?
I'm doing really good. Just a great show. Right. A lot of fun. A lot of fun to share with people and talk with people and hear from people and pray with people. Yeah. And just fun. I just like it.
I hadn't been able to listen for a while. I've been doing other things on the job. Well, whatever, get the radio.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's a blessing that you're listening now. So that's
yes,
good.
It is.
All right, you ready? I'll set it up for you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go. All right, I'll ask the question, give you the four, and then you choose. Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? Was it David, Nehemiah, Solomon, or Jeremiah?
I believe it was a repentful Solomon.
It was Lamentations follows. That's okay. Actually, hold on. Let me get you there. Hold on. You have Isaiah, and then who wrote after Isaiah? Who wrote after Isaiah? He starts.
Jeremiah.
That is correct. And then he wrote the next book, and that would be Lamentations. So you're right. Jeremiah is the answer. That's Lamentations. So now when you get into Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and stuff like that,
That's what confused me. You're right.
That's right. And so, you know, it's funny because, you know, Song of Solomon, usually it's called Song of Songs, but when you say Song of Solomon, you know he wrote it. And then Ecclesiastes, which I just finished today in my devotions, I just read it in the last couple of days. It's just like you read it, you go, he had some really bad moments in that book.
I had it wrong. When I was listening earlier, you said a guy was talking about the Bible and different translations. You know what the best translation of the Bible is?
What's the best translation of the Bible?
The one you read.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. 100%. That deserves another clap of Rooney. That is good. That's like the best vitamin for a Christian. Which one is it? B1.
B1, exactly.
Excellent job. Very, very good. It's just great to hear from you. And thank you for saying that. It's very kind of you that you liked it. So I appreciate that.
Oh, have a good day.
God bless. Bye-bye. We just have great people. That's all. Did you like that? The one you're reading. What's the best version? The one you're reading. You know what version is the worst for you? The one you never read. That's so good. Excellent job. Very, very good. All right. I got to do with teaching. So we're going to have to – we'll do history on the backside, on this other side, and we'll have one more trivia question. I promise you this next trivia question is going to be – you're going to go, what? But that's okay. I mean, I have – this is a pre-researched trivia question. Let me just say that. But let me go back to this text here. So this is Paul. He's giving his defense. I know we're moving kind of slowly through Acts, and we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. Here's what I want you to catch that he says, and this is the biggest thing, and I want you to hear it because he doesn't have any problem saying it. This is Paul in Acts 24:17. After several years, I returned to Jerusalem with money to aid my people to offer sacrifices to God. My accusers saw me in the temple as I was completing a purification ritual. There was no crowd around me and no rioting, but some Jews from the province of Asia were there, and they ought to be here to bring charges if they have anything against me. Ask these men here what wrongdoing the Jewish council found in me, except for one thing: when I shouted out, I am on trial before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. So let me just stop right there, because that's verse 21. Paul is telling them, without any reservation, I am on trial because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. When he's discussing the history, none of this involves him doing anything wrong. He didn't create any riots. There's nothing. But this one element is something you and I need to stand firm in without being wavering, without wavering in any capacity, and that's this. He was actually on trial because he believes in the resurrection from the dead. Every Christian needs to be aware of that. Because when you say that, you're saying, I am a citizen in heaven. The earth is not my home. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Remember that new bumper sticker we said? Just visiting the earth on my way to the sun. S-O-N. Visiting the earth on my way to the sun. If you believe in the resurrection of the dead, do you understand that this is eternity in play? Do you understand that the frustrations that we go through, they're a pain? I mean, don't, you know, it's like, it's, ugh. Hey, traffic's a pain, right? But you understand that in the face of eternity, it's nothing. It's nada. It doesn't matter. That's not a light chicken gravy. It's nada. There's just nothing. And so we stand as citizens of heaven. Does that mean we hate everybody on earth? Of course not. But earth is not the place that we want to land. We're looking to hang out with the Lord God Almighty on streets of gold. And when you consider that hope, it gives us the ability to endure. So keep the hope in your mind. That is the helmet of salvation. We're saved. Spending eternity with God. How cool is that? That's pretty cool. I will take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. and that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying, I started getting mad. And then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you. And this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so, you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now you, how do you think after that happens? How do you think I feel? Okay, so now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right, because I'm just lost. And he prays for me, and it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, ready? And that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear, and that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're mashugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome. And if you can't shout sight,
you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, where I'm getting ready to drop on you a trivia question that will shake you from ear to ear. Okay, maybe not, but that's kind of funny. Okay, now listen to what I am going to say, okay? I can't give you any more warnings than I'm giving you, right? What is, based on the word count, the shortest book in the Bible? Not based on verses, based on the word count, what is the shortest book in the Bible? Is it Jude, 3 John, 1 Peter, or Obadiah? Jude, 3 John, 1 Peter, or Obadiah? Word count. Word count. Can't say that again. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. If you don't want to call in, you can text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So it's a tough one, but your gut will probably serve you well. What is the shortest book in the Bible? So there's 66 books. We're looking for the shortest book by word count. Is it Jude, 3 John, 1 Peter, or Obadiah? You can pretty much toss 1 Peter out of that. All right, so there's your question. In the meantime, we'll do history. Let's go live it in the past. All right, this really is living in the past. Today is the Remembrance Day of the 8-track tape day. You've never heard an 8-track tape, have you?
I have heard of it.
You never actually heard one like in a car?
No,
right?
No.
Do you remember whenever you played games in the early days, did you have to ever blow into the cartridge to get
yep.
the dust out?
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I had CDs. That's the earliest. Didn't have any tapes.
Don't talk to me. Okay. 8-track tape day. Today is also National Pet Day, so that does not mean dog or cat. For us, it means Bert, you know, so we'll just leave it there. Bert.
It's National Pet Day every day, right, for
yeah,
Bert?
Yeah, yeah. Every day. This dog, I mean, he got his bone. We have a little bed below us, and sometimes he comes and sleeps on our bed, and he goes to the little bed below us, okay? All right, listen to this. And then he's sitting there, he's eating his little bone, and he wants us to come down to his bed, so he starts going, roo, 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 roo. And we're like, quiet, Bert, we're going to bed. He goes, roo, roo, roo. We're like, Bert, he's like, roo. That's what he does. It's so funny. It's like his way of saying, come here.
I like how dogs, they'll just kind of mope around the house, and they'll lay down and they give out a big sigh, and it's like, oh, did you have a tough day? Yeah. Not doing anything.
Yeah, and the great thing about it, and I'll say this, a comedian said this, what's amazing about a dog is when you come home with groceries, they think you're the world's greatest hunter.
Yep.
That's just so funny. All right, today is also National Cheese Fondue Day. I'm a huge fondue fan, just in case you're wondering. Noelle and I have had about 8 anniversary dinners on with fondue. We just love it. It's just great stuff. Okay, Barbershop Quartet Day. That's, that used to be great. That was wonderful. And then National Submarine Day, and that's not the sandwich, which is sad, because if it was the sandwich, I'd be more impressed. No, I'm kidding. 1921 on this day, the first sports broadcast on radio. And finally, 1947 on this day, Jackie Robinson is the first African-American to play in the modern-day Major League Baseball game. That's what they
say. Wow.
That's a good stat right there. Huge.
That's a cool like tradition they do for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's huge. Huge number. Phenomenal. All right, so trivia question, then I'm going to go into the teach, and then if nobody calls in, then I'm just going to have a ping pong ball toss my way and make sure you get it. What is the shortest book in the Bible by word count? By word count. Is it Jude, 3rd John, or Obadiah? Just leave it there. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, as well as send an email to david@hemustincrease.org to the rest of this portion in Acts. And this is really an important portion. I'm not going to do it justice, but just listen. This is really good. Acts chapter 24, verses 22 and 23. Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case. He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him freedom to allow his friends to visit him and to take care of his needs. So in this situation, Paul is going through what we would all consider exceedingly intense trials, right? I mean, they're trying to kill this guy. So, I mean, that's an exceedingly intense trial. I'm just going to say that, okay? Here's the deal. He gets freedom. So I want you to understand what this is Felix decides, he knows what's going on in the Christian faith. He probably, I think you're careful to read between the lines, but you can kind of get a feel for it. He knows that this is something's goofy here. So he grants Paul certain freedoms, including allowing his friends to visit him and take care of him and meet his needs. So this is basically a reduction in the intensity that Paul was going through. He uses this time, we're going to find out, and he uses all of this time, and the believers use all this time to encourage one another. And so I want to say this, and it is important for you and I to grasp. When we catch a break, and by that I mean there's just no heavy-duty winds and there's no heavy-duty waves. Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you get a little bit of quiet and a little bit of smooth sailing, of course you need to spend time with the Lord, but you don't need to run and hide. When God gives you those spaces and those times, be aware that that might be the very moment that DNA we talk about comes into play, and God wants you to make sure you're available to encourage other people. After all, you're getting encouragement right in the midst of a trial. That is a tremendous opportunity to share that God gives grace during these times. So I'm saying that from a I'm not trying to tell you don't get some time to yourself. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is you don't just duck and hide because things are calm. It's all about one another, and it's all about reflecting Jesus until we all get there. And of course, it's all about Jesus, and that part of that is to care for one another, just like he cares for you, just like he takes care of you. Even after you've gone through the most terrible, frustrating, discouraging moments, you'll always notice that the Lord is still right there. And then when you get that break and you notice he's there and you have that calm, make sure you're telling the Lord, I'm available. I'm here for you to use as you see fit. He might not do anything. You might not be used at all. But be available. Because our job as brothers and sisters in the Lord has equipped us to minister to one another. The ministers, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the fivefold ministry is designed to equip the saints, not to equip themselves. It's the saints that are supposed to be equipped. Just read Ephesians 4. The saints are supposed to be equipped by the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to minister to one another. So if the Lord gives you a break, use it. But use it in a way that honors him. That's all I'm saying. All right, now back to the trivia question. So I want to make sure you understand this because some people are like going, what? What is the shortest book in the Bible by word count? The shortest book in the Bible by word count is, in fact, 3 John. But the shortest book in the Bible by verses would be 2 John. See? So that you got to be careful, right? You got to like, ooh, well, that's a... So if you did word count, listen to this. The Psalms is not the longest book. It's got the most chapters, not the longest book. Jeremiah has the largest word count, the only book with over 33,000 words. Oh, that'll make your head scratch. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.